I hear you.
Yeah. We went to go see Watchmen Saturday night, and we just got out.
It was I don't think it was the director's cut. I'm pretty sure that was the theatrical cut.
That's impossible. That movie, that felt like days. I had to go eat like three breakfast meals because of, I was famished.
I don't think I had that effect on me. It definitely wasn't a positive effect. Where would we even start with talking about this movie?
I'm sorry, I hated it. I
Yeah.
know, and it's getting its fair share of hate around, so I know I'm not the only one, but my God, throw me a freaking bone. That movie was so boring.
And you just said that it gets its fair amount of hate. It's not getting that much hate.
It's
It's
getting
getting,
50-50.
I think it's 65 on Rotten Tomatoes right now. But that's pretty good for a movie on Rotten Tomatoes. And
For a comic book movie,
the
yeah,
only
that's not
I
bad.
read the review in the paper, and he gave it 2 stars. But he didn't read the graphic novel, and neither did you or I.
I didn't read the graphic. Apparently, you almost have to read this graphic novel because somebody better be getting entertainment out of this because it sure as hell wasn't me.
Yeah, and it wasn't me either.
And you know, okay, this is gonna be my first issue with the movie, and it's gonna make me sound completely unmature, immature, immature. Immature is not even a word.
Let's hear it.
What? Okay, whatever. Billy
Just
Crudup's
get into
penis.
it.
And I know that's dumb to make this the first issue of this movie because I have tons of issues with it, but the American audience is not mature enough, myself included, to focus on a scene when Billy Crudup's blue glowing penis is in it for no apparent reason. If there's penis in a scene and it's playing an active role, then I can pay attention. But if it's just in the background hanging out there, putting my non-blue penis to shame, then I'm not going to pay attention to the dialogue. I'm sorry.
Dude, that was a fairly decent size blue penis.
Yeah, and
I mean,
I do not believe that is the actual length of Billy Crudup's penis because, well, I have
explain.
sources.
Yeah, okay.
Look, I'm not going to tell any
Are we going to
stories.
get back
I'm not
into
talking
the
I'm not
know a
talking
guy
out of
who knows a
school. I'm
guy?
not talking out of school, man. I'm sorry.
I wasn't even going to bring that up. I wasn't going to bring it up at all because that's everyone's argument with it. And you haven't read enough, have you?
Oh man, I'm not going to read another word about that movie.
But no, that is everyone's argument with Watchmen, is that they don't understand why there's a blue dick in the scenes, yada, yada, yada.
Oh
There
well.
is so much more to hate
Oh, I
about the
agree.
Watchmen. Starting with, I don't know if the comic book had the log line or the tagline, "Who watches the Watchmen?"
Oh, that was, I think, a very important part of the graphic novel.
Yeah, but it sets. I mean, if you go, I don't know. It's not that I consider myself that smart, but it's just going in. You know, one of them's gonna be behind it all, and then as it
Is that
plays.
even true in the graphic novel?
Yeah, he's still the bad guy,
Oh, all right.
and he's still doing
So
it
I
for the
guess the
same
graphic novel was
reasons.
just as lame.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like whenever it reveals it, or at least I already knew, and I didn't read the graphic novel or I didn't read the early reviews for it because I wanted to go in
And
fresh.
I was looking forward to this movie. I
Oh, I
really
was
was.
too.
And my God, I was just sitting there bored out of my mind.
Oh, you know I was bored.
Yeah, I was afraid for your sanity there for about 2 hours in when I realized the movie wasn't even close to being over.
Yeah, Adam told me that he thought my girlfriend had left me for good because of the way that I was acting.
But when she got up, you looked really sad.
Yeah, and I put my face in my hands, and it was not anything to do with her. I mean, it's not like she farted on the way to the bathroom or
Oh,
anything.
she did, but that was on me, not you.
But it was just because I could not get into the movie. And I 2 hours in, and I was like, I know this is going to end soon, and I don't even care how it ends.
I know I, that you bring up a good point. I could care less about any of those characters.
Yeah, I didn't care at all.
And I know,
and I liked Ramshack as a character.
Who? Rorschach?
Rorschach. I didn't read the novel. I didn't have his name thrown in my face.
Okay, whatever.
I don't. He's the only one whose name I even halfway know. All I know is the blue guy is. I call
Dr.
him
Doctor Manhattan.
See, I called blue, him John.
Doctor Blue Penis.
Okay. But no, that's
Jaws immature.
Rorschach is the only character that I thought was cool, but he's still. It's not like he's likable.
No, I don't, well, he's not supposed to be.
Yeah,
thing.
And that's what I mean.
Here I am defending this to you. Fuck it, I hated that movie.
Yeah. It's,
all right. We hated it. Most people probably hated it too. Hopefully.
Let's talk about Zack Snyder as a director and what do you, I mean,
I have mixed feelings about Zack Snyder. There are parts of 300 that I really liked.
Yes.
And then the obvious parts of the lack of any plot I did not like in 300.
Mm-hmm.
And now here in, Watchmen, there are parts that look really good. There are parts that look like a bad music video.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just long stretches where I could basically be watching paint dry and I'm still getting the same amount of entertainment.
Yeah. And I feel about the same way. I wish he would go ahead and cash in his ridiculous slow-mo to fast-mo. I know it's considered Zack Snyder's style now, but it's just, it's beyond. I think it's beyond movies right now with him. 300, it worked, and it was kind of like one of those groundbreaking type things in that movie. But when you keep doing it in every single movie you make, and really, he doesn't.
Well, it's a grand total of two, right?
And they're both graphic novel inspired. And, you know, is it all just because Zack Snyder wants to be the guy who actually can make a movie that's true to these novels, or what? I mean, because obviously he's doing that. It's not like he's sitting there saying, well, you know what? I want to make this movie entertaining for the people that don't read comics. Because I know that the huge chunk of America obviously reads comics, right?
Yeah, all 2%.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
no,
what's...
No hating on you guys. None.
No.
You should be
it's
just
fine.
As disappointed as I was.
Yeah, a lot of my friends read comics. And I'm not... But, I mean, I don't. And I just haven't got into them. And whenever you see previews for a movie like that, it's obviously a movie that's like, oh, I could totally get into that, regardless. And
the trailers were great.
Yeah, they were some of the best. And it's, I don't know if it is that, if it's Zack Snyder, well, I'm making movies for the comic book fans, all 2% of them. And you know what, right now, is he sitting at home looking at the box office saying, fuck yes, I made a movie just like the comic, and it made $55 million. And he's
that
sitting
it
there.
Isn't it, I'm guessing it was number one, obviously.
It was $55 million. Yeah, it was number one.
Oh, 55, so that's from Wednesday night to Sunday morning.
Well, Thursday night at midnight, night. But yeah. Is he just sitting at home, stroking his dick, thinking, comic book nerds love me so hard right now.
I think it's going to be a huge drop. I bet it doesn't even do 20 next week.
It might not. But then when he finishes...
Oh, Jesus.
Slow motion. And then everything goes back to normal speed.
Stop it.
Yeah. I better clean up.
Man.
What's next?
I'm done talking about The Watchmen. I hated it.
I'd really not want to give any more time to it.
Let's talk about screenplays. I mean, that's ostensibly what this thing's about, so let's do it.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Watchmen's still on my mind now.
Oh, shit.
Well, because you said I'm done talking about it, and then it's like, well, shit, do I have any more crap to talk about The Watchmen before we move on?
This podcast is going to keep getting as boring as The Watchmen if we keep talking about it, so we're going to...
Well, hey, if so many people obviously loved it and sat through it, they'll sit through this.
It's true. But I don't have blue glowing penis.
Me neither.
I know.
I can't even. I'm done. All right, let's go on. Screenplays. Do you want to start with Miss March, or do you want to do Inglourious? I think we start with Miss March.
Yeah, I think we do, too.
I think we make them wait.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because, you know, they don't have the ability to skip ahead. That technology doesn't exist yet.
It's not like there's chapter markers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Foiled again.
Yep. All right, Miss March comes out this Friday.
Is it already this Friday?
It's this Friday, yep.
I'm losing track of time. Yep.
This Friday it comes out, and it stars two of the whitest kids, Zach.
Some people might not know who that is. Give a little background.
The Whitest Kids. Whitest Kids is a comedy troupe out of New York. They have a show. It premiered on Fuse for the first season, and after that, IFC picked it up, and season three is currently airing now, and it is bad.
Seasons one and two are great.
They are. I agree.
I love it. I love the season one, the season that was on Fuse, and I like large chunks of season two, but season three, the eps are 15 minutes, and man, they're just disappointing so far.
They're bad. There's been six shown so far, and I've only watched five of them, but the first five are just so bad that it's almost where it's like they got caught up in the movie or something, or Trevor got big-headed, which that could totally happen just by listening to him talk on commentaries and everything.
So,
I mean, hang on. Trevor Moore from Whitest Kids. When you watch Whitest Kids, at least when I watch Whitest Kids, okay, I do not see any amount of natural acting ability in him.
And that's what I anticipate is going to be the downfall of this movie.
I agree. I think the movie is going to just... I think it's based on the script, obviously. I think the movie...
There's also trailers out. You can get little clips from his acting.
Yeah, and it's just so kiddish and off the wall, not even close to being an actor. And it is a comedy, so maybe
it's a broad comedy.
And maybe it'll end up fitting it, and we're totally wrong. But right now...
We're totally wrong about The Watchmen. Shit.
God damn, we were so wrong about God, we can't keep bringing up how bad The Watchmen is.
I'm sorry.
It's not a running joke when everyone else liked it.
All right, so Miss March, two of the whitest kids, which is... Zach Cregger, who directed Miss March.
I think they both did.
No, I think it was just Zach. It was just Zach Cregger, who I think he's a good actor. He does pretty good work on The Whitest Kids. And from what I've seen of Miss March, he does a pretty good job. That being said, I think the script is very simplistic and in large chunks unfunny.
I agree. It's a very by-the-numbers screenplay.
Yeah, it is a paint-by-numbers buddy road movie, yep, but not even really that good. And I hate the ending.
I do, too. But I'm pretty sure page 31, I mean, it is like break into act two just like that. I mean, it is like,
yeah, it's totally by the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. When I say by the numbers, I mean it is by the numbers. And I mean everything as far as the girlfriend re-showing up, being the bad guy. Everything.
Trevor's character's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tucker's girlfriend in the script.
Yeah. Trevor real Moore. Creative, yeah. Trevor Moore real creatively players. Named himself Tucker in the film. So yeah. I guess he could remember a little bit easier on set which one he was.
Yeah. I'm sure it was tough. I mean.
Yeah. Trevor to Tucker and then Zach's character, Eugene. So.
Yeah, he stretched it, but he has real acting ability. So. The script, the first 30 pages were so painstakingly hard to read for me.
I mean, they had zero flow. I mean, they jumped from, I think, age 6 to age 14 to age 18, pretty much. Is that how it went?
It's something like that.
Yeah, they couldn't transition for shit trying to get to this.
Yeah, the transitions are what killed the first 30 pages. You'd finish reading a scene and you'd be like, there's nothing to keep me reading this script.
I only kept reading it because it was by Trevor and Zach.
And
at that point in time when I read it, the third season of Whitest Kids hadn't completely disappointed me.
Yeah, exactly. But it is. There's after the first act, after they try to, and you know they do introduce their characters right. They get out all the little characteristics of both characters. How Tucker's obsessed with sex and how Zach is the goody two shoes. They get all that out. It's just that, like we said, there is no flow to any of the scenes in the first act. It's like, oh, well, we got Tucker's background caught up. Oh, we better go do Eugene's now. And it just, there's no flow to the first 30 pages. As soon as they get on the road to the Playboy Mansion, of course, it picks up, and then it turns into a road movie. And
it's really hard to screw up the flow of a road movie.
Exactly, because you're constantly
you are literally moving. So, but okay, Adam, what did you like? And I don't want to give too much of it away, but fuck it, it's not like it's
it doesn't matter.
What did you think of how the firefighters were like the bad guys, and how sophisticated their firefighter network was.
It was.
Did you find that at all funny? Like original?
I didn't find it funny. I guess you could say it was original, but I think you and I both know that firefighters aren't on a national fax list with every fire department, so it's not like it's the CIA.
Well, I mean, they were obviously making that joke that it was absurd that the firefighters would be so sophisticated, but that joke had probably a half-life of 15 seconds. But that was the B plot.
Yeah, I mean, they set it up to where that's all they have in the script, and whenever you do that, you have to run with it. And I mean, they did run with it, and it all came together in the end, of course. But
The script wasn't a mess. It was just lame.
I agree, it was. And I think that just goes to show whenever you have a name, it's a lot easier to get something made. And I remember listening on the commentaries where they
The
had
Whitest Kids
the Whitest
commentaries.
Kids commentary, where they had each set out to write their own script. And the only thing that Trevor and Sam had was what.
Sam is another member of the Whitest Kids
Yep.
that what is not in the yeah, I don't think he has anything to do with Miss
I
March.
don't think he does either. But all they came up with was a sketch for the show. They thought it was a movie idea, but of course, in the end, it was too simple, which is basically what this is.
This is a little bit more complicated than a
Well,
Whitest Kid sketch.
the only reason is because they put it on the road.
Yeah.
They gave the character a
Yeah, that.
destination and knew
Yeah.
he had to get there.
Yeah.
Which I guess if you're like them and you have a name and you're just trying to get something out there to try and establish yourself, a road movie is probably where it's at. Because
Yeah.
you can set any type of destination and you can, pratfalls all the time until your character gets there.
Now, after we've just spent the last 7 minutes talking shit about it, there are some actual funny lines.
Oh, there are. And there'll be plenty of scenes that I laugh at in the movie.
Yeah, but it's nothing spectacular. And if that was by anybody else, that would have been a spec script that's sat on the shelf forever.
Yeah, I don't see any studio picking that up except it was by them. And I doubt that the budget was much on that.
Oh, no. I mean, the only name actor they have is what, Craig Anderson, is that his
Craig
name?
Robinson.
Craig Robinson.
Hugh Hefner. That's
Oh,
it.
Hugh Hefner. That was maybe an hour.
Maybe. Yeah, he's in the one scene.
Yeah,
He's getting
so,
old, though.
no. I mean, he does show on E, so he's not working
They
for a
don't do
whole
that
lot.
anymore.
What?
Yeah, the.
Girls Next Door?
Yeah, they don't do
I don't
that.
watch E
Apparently,
because
they all.
that's just like the vapid channel, so I skip right over
Yeah,
it.
I don't think they do. I know one of the girls left him because he
Well, that's
wouldn't have
sad.
kids.
Oh,
I'm not sure if any of the others
that's a
did.
shame.
I don't keep up with half. I mean, is there any point to keep up with a guy that is just so automatic and gets anything he wants?
Some people really look up to him.
I
I
know.
don't.
I don't either. And maybe at one time I would have, but he's not putting out a smut.
No, it's too classy for
Yep,
me.
and that's the problem I have with it.
Yeah.
Spread Eagle.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it. He
No.
doesn't offer that.
No.
It's not even an upgrade. Like, you can't pay $10 more to get that as an upgrade. Like, you know what? We're gonna print some of these, and it's gonna be racier shots. And if you are the premier member, you're gonna get them.
You sound pretty disappointed with the Playboy website.
I'm talking magazine. Not even the. They should do it on the website
They
too.
might, I don't know.
I mean, why not? Why? Okay, regardless, it doesn't matter what I think about it. All that matters is what we think of this script. And
Miss March script, I don't know. Out of 10, I get a 4.
that's what I was gonna say.
A 4.
So I guess I'll give it a 4.5.
You get a 4? Why?
Well, I didn't want to give it a 3.5. I thought it should get a 4, so I might as well go forward.
Okay, give it a four
And
and a
I
half.
do like Trevor and Zach, so.
I love we just completely talk shit about them, and then it's kind of funny, and we like those guys.
Yeah, I do. And I shouldn't say Trevor and Zach because then it's like I know them.
Yeah, like they hang
Trevor
out.
Moore and Zach Cregger. I like those two men. Now that just sounds like I want to suck their cocks at the same time.
One at a time.
I got a big mouth. I'm not saying that their cocks are small, and I don't know.
Oh
man, this is just not it tonight.
No, no. We should go ahead and talk about the big one, Inglourious Bastards. Everyone likes to, like, immediately they always talk about how bad the spelling is and the grammar mistakes, but I really don't care about that. Like, it did not affect me one iota when I was reading that.
It affected me, and I don't think it was the spelling as much as the grammar in some spots where he wouldn't say "an." It's like, how do you not know yeah. before a word that starts with a vowel?
I tried to skip right over them.
And you know, some people are saying that it was intentional, blah blah blah. It was not intentional. Look at the early draft of the Kill Bill script.
Is it bad?
It's got spelling mistakes all over.
I think it's obvious the Inglourious Bastards, the draft that is out, was not meant to go to everyone. That was just something he kind of ran off.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's true. I don't know if it's ever been claimed. And I'm curious if that's why he ended up going with the misspelled title, just because that draft had already gotten out, and that's how people were referring to the movie.
Do you think that because Bastards is spelled incorrectly, that maybe that'll somehow slip underneath the radar, and people will just throw that up on their marquee, misspelled? I don't think that's going to happen.
It might. It might be one of those where, you know, if it was me or you just working in a theater, and we both know how to spell, and we're not...
No, what I'm saying, do you think that there will be theater chains that would not show a movie with the title Bastard, but now that it's spelled incorrectly, that will be their excuse to throw that up there so they can make their mad Quentin Tarantino money? Because that's what I would totally do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, that's not Bastards, that's Bastards.
Yeah. He should have just spelled it with a turd. Bastards.
T-U-R-D.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Bastards. Because, I mean, really, I mean...
You know what? It's called Inglourious Bastards. It really should be called Lady Who Owns Theater in Paris, because that was the heart of the story. And I was like, come on, get back to the beating of the Nazis. Do it. No, we're going to stick with Shoshana in Paris, which is a fine storyline, but I really wanted to see some more grotesque violence. I don't know.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that's, out of a Quentin movie, what you expect, too, because that's just kind of what he's made himself known for now.
And I'm sure the final product's going to have its fair share of, you know, hedonistic violence that is more than you're going to see in most movies, but I was getting really tired of that. And the black and white chapter, the French New Wave.
That might be my favorite chapter.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh, shit.
And I really don't know why.
That's where the heart of the plot is, yeah.
It is. But
after seeing that trailer, I just wanted to see someone get killed for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I know. And that's the way the trailer leads you to believe.
Yeah, she's nowhere to be seen in that teaser trailer. Nowhere.
No, she's not.
And, yeah.
Quentin has said, though, that he has always thought of Shoshana as the main character of the script. Of the story.
I agree. I mean, she's the only one. She probably has the most dialogue other than that Nazi.
Landa?
Yeah, yeah. I would say those two probably have the most dialogue in the film.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as far as everything coming together, it's obviously that she is the most important character.
Yeah, and the screenplay is awesome.
I think it's great.
The beatings when they are there are awesome.
I agree. And I just want to say thanks for recommending that on the site. Otherwise, I might have not ever read this.
Really?
Just because.
Who recommended it? Do you remember?
I think Hawkeye did.
Oh, well.
Thanks, Hawkeye.
Good work for him.
Yep. Yeah. So keep the requests coming, and we'll gradually do those as we see fit. But no, I had no intentions reading the script after opening that PDF up and seeing the spelling. The copy isn't the greatest either, so I had no intentions. But yeah, I'm happy I did now.
I enjoyed it.
Let's hear your spill about how you.
Well, okay, all right, fine. What did I go to school for?
Everyone. Adam went to school as a history major, so anytime you watch a movie that is historically inaccurate
Okay, there's historically inaccurate.
I'm done. Movie over. I'm done.
There is historically inaccurate, and then there's this. He kills Hitler and half of the SS. That really kind of makes me suspend. I know it's most Quentin Tarantino movies, you do have to suspend your belief.
Yes.
But
That is a bit much, and it's a full stretch.
It is a real stretch, and I know people are thinking, well, fucking deal with it. It's a story. It's make believe. But when you make movies and they're all fictional characters and you incorporate real characters and then you just completely turn history on its ear, people are going to stop thinking about how badass that screen or that scene was, and thinking, oh man, that was so great. They all died. But no, everyone's thinking Hitler didn't die like that.
No.
Most
people. I mean, how cool would it have been if
Oh, that
would have
been badass. If that would have been great. I mean, oh, my God. And then Glorious Bastards would be the most epic movie ever. But yeah. Hitler didn't die like that. Hitler didn't die in 1944 in a theater. I just gave away the ending.
Well, and it's not even that. But if Hitler would have died in a theater, this movie would never exist. This script would never exist.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a fair trade-off.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Hitler dies a year earlier.
I think the reason I don't have a problem with it, I do have a problem with it, but I'll get to that after I say I don't have a problem with it because there's so many World War II movies that seeing historically correct is kind of getting old. And it's not that
I'm
it's getting...
I'm pretty sure from the moment when Brad Pitt is, getting all the Jews together to beat the Nazis with baseball bats, you realize you're not an historical accurate film.
Yeah.
But when it goes that far, then you've kind of broken down that whole cloud of alternate universe, and all you can think of is, this really didn't happen. This is completely tearing down the fourth wall.
Yeah, and it is. I love the way he opens it, though. I love the scene with Landon, the farmer.
I bet that's going to look beautiful. I bet it's going to be shot very well.
I do, too.
You see little snippets of that in the trailer, actually.
Yeah, you do.
So you do see Shoshana in the trailer, but it's little Shoshana.
Yeah. That might be the only scene in the movie where I could sit and visually imagine the whole thing from start to finish.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the other scenes, I was like, maybe. I don't know if I like that or if I don't know if I like that. But I'm sure he'll do it where it's awesome. He's a good director. A few lines of the action he used, I had a problem with. I don't like it on the sixth page in the farmer and Landa scene. Whenever he uses the line of action, the farmer answers.
Yeah, this isn't a novel.
Yeah. And then he goes right back down and types the farmer's character name, hits enter, and types yes. It is so unnecessary to write the farmer answers when you're going to sit and have the farmer's answer right under it.
Did you forget he was writing a screenplay?
I think he forgot he was writing a screenplay. I mean, even if he did forget, how is that? How do you do that? I can't. Another thing, page 97. I actually took notes this week, guys, as I was reading, so I won't
He's
be
prepared.
I came prepared, so it's not going to be as funny and enjoyable. But
I'm enjoying it. Just being in your presence makes me feel. It feels like home.
Here we go again. I mean, how do we do this every week? I mean, we always start with this, and right before it, we kiss, and we're like, "All right, none of this till after."
Yeah,
you know, we're not gonna get into this.
I promised myself, and I told my therapist told me that I shouldn't, kind of act on those emotions.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even remember where I left off of Inglourious, but
you were talking about page 97.
Yeah, because I take notes on page 97. He's talking. I think it's in one of the bars or something, and he says that something's happening in the BG.
The background.
Yeah. But I guess he can't say, you know, such and such characters enter is in the background, or we see these characters in the background. No, it's in the BG.
In the BG?
The BG, yeah. Because
he's cooler than you are.
Yeah, he's cool, and I mean, I guess all that matters is that he knows what he's saying, but...
That's actually true with this whole thing. I mean, he can misspell any word he wants. As long as he knows what he's saying, it doesn't really fucking matter.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was just... I didn't get it. If he sits and writes every other word of the action, writes it out, and then he gets there, what made him think B period, G, period, and capitalized. I mean, it's not like...
You know what? B and G are right next to each other. Not right next to each other, but like one's on top of the other.
Yeah, they're catty-cornered.
Do you know what?
What?
He was using his other hand for something during that point in time.
I bet he was.
I bet he was, too.
Probably one of those bar slits he picks up. I always see that on TMZ.
Oh, is he kind of a player?
It seems like he's always on TMZ in his yellow.
What are you doing watching TMZ? That's worse than E.
It's worse than everything. I'll just admit it.
Oh my God, that show is so bad. It only exists to make others' lives worse.
It does. It's so awful. And
what's the premise? Oh, we're going to stand in our office and talk to our boss about what we just shot. Dude, what the fuck does that I don't even get that.
I laugh so hard at that. It cracks me up so much. It's just, hey Brian, what do you got? Oh, dude, you'll never believe what I got today. You'll never believe it. George Clooney, he was eating an ice cream cone, taking his dog on a walk. Oh, man. It's so crazy because he picks his dog up and gives him a lick of the ice cream cone.
Is that man Italian in that joke?
I've yet to figure out what I was actually trying to pull off there. It's like,
what do you got for us today? Oh, I got Kevin Spacey taking a shit. Oh, well, that's going on the show.
That probably wouldn't make the show.
I would watch Kevin Spacey.
Oh, so would I, but yeah, that's never the shit that makes the show. It's like, oh, hey, Jesse McCartney got his driver's license today, and we were outside waiting on him. Watch him drive off for the first time with his driver's license. DMZ was there reporting.
Who's Jesse McCartney?
I think he's a singer.
I don't know.
Well, maybe that'll go in the little stat boy column after I post it and realize Jesse McCartney doesn't exist. But in my mind, Jesse McCartney is a 15-year-old just now turning 16, and TMZ is there with the camera.
That name sounds familiar. I think it's a real person, but I just don't know who it is.
I hope it is. All makes sense.
Yeah. Well, TMZ is a horrible show.
It is. Your biggest problem with the script was the Hitler thing.
The Hitler thing. And as strong... Okay, let's just imagine the script where Hitler doesn't show up and they still blow up the theater. And that would be awesome. If it's filmed well, which it will be filmed well, it will be awesome.
Yes.
And then the very, very end of the script kind of goes out on a whimper, I think.
It does. And you're right. They could.
They should have ended it right. Like something. He should have made that all right there. End around the. You know, we tied up everything around the theater, so it all just kind of. You keep that momentum because, and then it cuts and then it goes somewhere else. Yeah. And I'm not going to blow by blow give the ending. Yeah. But then it's just like, the air's let out.
But when that last line of dialogue spoken.
That's fine. It's good, but you've already lost that. You've lost that momentum. You got that body count.
I think so.
In the theater, and then the air's just kind of let out.
I think that's what he wanted, though. In all honesty, I think he wanted to bring it down a little before he ended it. And like you were saying, there would have been nothing wrong with just blowing up a theater full of Germans.
No,
and just making a few sergeants there. I mean, they don't have to be Hitler.
That's true. And really, you take Hitler. Showing up out of that plot, it does not affect it one iota.
Really doesn't. You can take out all those.
Or Joseph Goebbels, who's another real person, and you take those two people out of it.
Yeah.
You say, "Oh, Hitler didn't make it."
And you can still leave in that earlier.
Yeah, you can still leave You can still leave in the earlier dialogue with Goebbels and the earlier dialogue with Hitler in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it's not affected one bit.
No. But,
and I wonder. I really hope that they don't in the movie.
I think they will, but...
Yeah, shit.
Obviously, his biggest problem was that. My biggest problem was, on page 25, Quentin defines what scalping is.
Thank you, script.
And
the more you know.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, that's where it gets me, that if this was just for him, does he not know what scalping is? So every time
That is true. I mean, I just said, you know, he can misspell all the shit. He can write all that stuff down because it's just going to be for him. But does he need... If he's going to define scalping, obviously he thinks someone else is going to read this.
Yeah, and that's the way I looked at it, too. And
does he think that Brad Pitt doesn't know what scalping is? He's like, oh, I better tell Brad what he's doing here.
I'm going to tell you what I think it was. And I honestly think... He was working at this one morning, you know, coked out of his mind after he went and picked up a bar slit. You know, he'd already had his way with her, blah, blah, blah.
Beat up the dude outside from TMZ.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this? What is this?
What is going on? That is an awesome clip.
Yeah.
Look that up
on YouTube. Quentin Tarantino at Sundance. Some camera guy comes up and Quentin's just, what is this? What? No, what are you doing?
I'm Quentin Tarantino. I make movies.
Anyway, the bar slut.
Yeah, back to the bar slut.
He's coked out of his mind, sitting there, blah, 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 you know. Oh, Land is so awesome. I want to make him awesome. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, Brad Pitt. He's awesome. He's going to scout people. Yeah, okay. And Brad Pitt continues, and he pulls out his knife to begin scalping. Bar slut sits on his lap. Right down there, baby. What? Quentin? What do you mean scalping? Is that like what you just did to me? Because that really hurt bad. I still can't walk because my butt. He's like, God damn it, bitch.
I'm Quentin Tarantino. You get out of here. I'm trying to write my movies.
Then he's like, fucking whore. Doesn't even know. You know, well, maybe no one else knows what scalping is. She's probably smarter. She's just kidding. Well, maybe I should put it in the script. So then he inserts what scalping is into the script. And everyone that reads it says, scalping. You know, I thought I knew what that was, but thank God he put that in there in case it would have slipped my memory. I didn't want to have to stop reading the script, go out and Wikipedia it.
Yeah, God forbid we lose momentum so we need to find what scalping is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was my biggest problem with the script, was Quentin Tarantino thinking he had to define scalping.
Okay, I'm going to stop real quick and just congratulate you on that little skit you did right there. That was fucking, and he acted it out. He wasn't just talking to the microphone and like he really slapped his leg. And,
oh yeah, dude, it was that bitch sat down on my leg, and then I became Quentin Tarantino.
I got a little excited. I'm not gonna lie.
My hair is usually down. I usually wear a hat, so it just hat hair. But I even slicked it up to get the Quentin Tarantino fucked up faux hawk, almost Paul Thomas Anderson wannabe look. Oh man, those directors are so similar. I bet right now they're both coked out of their minds in LA.
Paul Thomas Anderson. Don't talk shit about Paul Thomas Anderson.
Here we go.
PTA.
There will be blood.
What do you have to say negative about There Will Be Blood?
Nothing.
Thank you.
No, I totally dig all of his movies
except one.
Except one. Let's not even name it. Boogie Nights is awesome. And I really like There Will Be Blood. Gotta be the best movie of last year.
Was it 2 years now, or is that last year?
It was 2007 Academy Awards.
2008. We're in 2009.
2008 Academy Awards, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily the best movie.
Oh, yeah. What was the big one it was up against?
No Country.
I like No Country.
I do, too, but...
But no, it's, you can't. It looks retarded in comparison.
It does. I mean, it's
there
so
Will Be Blood
epic.
Is beautiful.
It's beautiful, it's epic, and I'm not going to take anything away from the Coens, because I love the Coens, and I love No Country. But when you look at both movies back to back, and yes, I know they shot on lots right next to each other, blah, blah, blah.
But you know, that's interesting. For two movies that shot right next to one another, they couldn't look any different.
Mm-hmm. You're totally right.
I mean, the sand is the same, but it looks completely different.
It does. Which director, you know, utilized it better?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, if you think about it, that location played a vital part to both movies. With all the drilling and everything, and then him being out there with the money and everything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There Will Be Blood's
better.
Who
got best director for it, though?
Who did win? I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure it was the Coens.
I was going to say, I thought they won.
Yeah, because they just stood up there, and they didn't give much of an acceptance speech. They just kind of acted like...
They don't talk about their movies.
This is heavy.
That's the one reason I hate the Coens.
You just said you love the Coens.
I do, but that makes me, you know, push them off a bridge. But they never want to talk about their movies. I don't even know if they go to the premieres. They're probably like, fuck that, we're already writing the next one.
We already made it.
Yeah, we already got Clooney attached. I mean, Clooney's attached to our next 16 movies.
Clooney pretty much just, he knows when he needs to go back to the well. He just has to call Ethan and Joel up.
Yeah, exactly. But... I don't think we need to go on anymore. I think this is about it. End it on There Will Be Blood. Good note.
God, I love that movie.
Yeah, I do too. That's why we should just end it here.
I think we should just stop recording and watch There Will Be Blood.
I think we should. I kind of want to play hockey.
Oh, okay, shit, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. All right.
you know, keep the requests coming. We'll obviously try to keep the podcast coming.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I really think that's about all. I can't think of anything else. Can you?
Are we out of time?
I really think we ran over again. And, yeah, I think, yeah, 15 minutes ago we were supposed to call Sheridan, actually.
We missed him 2 episodes in a row now.
Yeah. So let's just send our apologies out to Sheridan again.
Again. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Next episode, Sheridan Cleveland will be on. He'll be joining us.
Yeah. And we won't let anyone down.
No.
Especially Sheridan.
I don't want to let him down. He's kind of my hero. All right, that's it.
Okay.
Sorry, Sheridan.
Yeah, we're sorry again, Sheridan. Next week, for sure, we'll fit you in.
All right. Bye-bye, kids.